Blog Talk Radio. Father God, let your kingdom come. Sovereign Lord, let your will be done. I trust you more than anyone. Your faithfulness like the rising sun. Spirit, come have your way in me. Give me ears to hear, give me eyes to see. Show me who I'm supposed to be. Cause without you I am incomplete. And I find you, I find you. When I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole heart. And I find you, oh I find you. When I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
So happy to be here.
Absolutely.
With you tonight. Been reading scriptures right up until we put the introductory music on. Really good stuff here. But anyways, welcome to the show. Welcome to PGN. I'm one of your hosts. I am Tanisha.
I'm Taryn.
And we are so excited to be here. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Today is March 23rd. It's 2022. It's 7:11 p.m. Central Standard Time. And again, welcome to PGN. We are here to love on you and prophesy and bless you and minister to you and see what God has to say to you individually and to us collectively as a body of Christ. And we're excited that you're a part of it. So I was reading before we came on, I was in Galatians. So I'm going to read it to you. Galatians, we're going to just do chapter 5. It was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, which you once removed. Notice it is I, Paul, who tells you that if you receive circumcision as a supposed requirement of salvation, Christ will be of no benefit to you, for you will lack the faith in Christ that is necessary for salvation. Once more, I solemnly affirm to every man who receives circumcision as a supposed requirement of salvation that he is under obligation and required to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ if you seek to be justified, that is declared free of the guilt of sin and its penalty and placed in right standing with God through the law. You have fallen from grace, for you have lost your grasp on God's unmerited favor and blessing. For we, not relying on the law, but through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit by faith, are waiting confidently for the hope of righteousness, the completion of our salvation. Yeah. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only faith activated and expressed and worked through love. You were running the race well. Who has interfered and prevented you from obeying the truth? This deceptive persuasion is not from him who called you to freedom in Christ. A little leaven, a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers leavens the whole batch. It perverts the concept of faith and misleads the church. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other way contrary to mine on the matter, but the one who is disturbing you, whoever he is, will have to bear the penalty. But as for me, brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision as I had done before I met Christ, and as some accuse me of doing now as necessary for salvation, why am I still being persecuted by Jews? In that case, the stumbling block of the cross to unbelieving Jews has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you by teaching that circumcision is necessary for salvation would even go all the way and castrate themselves. For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, worldliness, selfishness, but through love, serve, and seek the best for one another. And I'm going to stop there, because Paul is basically telling us that we need to walk by the Spirit, that we're not bound by the law,
right?
That we have freedom in Christ. And so I guess they were saying, no, I'm not going to guess, they were saying of him that he was still preaching circumcision, which wasn't true, because circumcision was tied to the law. And he's saying, if he was preaching circumcision, why would the Jews be persecuting him?
Right.
He's like, he's basically telling off on them. So he's telling you to not use your freedom to just continue to do things, sinful things, but to do your things in love. Walk in faith, activated and expressed by working through love, is what he says. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do. Because I hear of a lot of people in bondage because they're still bound by religion and the law. Because even yesterday, my oldest son texted me and asked me about tithing, right? Should all believers tithe? And I said, yes, they should, unless they don't want to. Because, the word of God tells us we are to be cheerful givers. So God said, if you got to do it begrudgingly, he don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so a lot of believers don't get to participate in the abundance that God has for us because they're either stingy with their giving or they're doing it out of religion. Mm-hmm. So it's not coming from a right place. Like Paul says, we should be, says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only faith activated and expressed and working through love. So we should be doing things through love. Religion has an underlying current of fear or duty. That's mm-hmm. not love. We're to be doing things in love.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight, let's release ourselves of the shackles of religion. And let's walk in love, and let's ask God to give us a soft heart, a sensitive heart,
mm-hmm.
and sensitive to Him. Because some people really are tenderhearted to everything. You know, they see a commercial of a duck being stuck in the ocean with oil, and they're just so tenderhearted, crying at his bleeding hearts. They're ready to give everything, and because they're just so tenderhearted. And when your heart is tender, it causes you to want to take action. That's what I've noticed about tender-hearted people. So they in any cause you come to them about, they're going to cry their eyes out and open their wallets and give everything and do what they can in their power to help that cause. Because that's what tender-hearted people do. They're very action-driven to try to help. We need to have a tender heart for God.
Mm-hmm.
So that we are action-driven to be obedient in love because we want to help. Because God can literally do everything on his own. He doesn't need us, but he does. He puts himself in a position to need us, but in actuality, he could do everything on his own, but he has positioned himself to need us
mm-hmm.
because he uses us.
Right.
When people say they're blessed, there's always another human involved in the story. Somebody did something, but they see that even though a human did it, they know that ultimately it came through God. They recognize the source,
mm-hmm.
even though it was done through a human hand. And so we have to position ourselves to be used by God. Let's have a tender heart for him so that we can take action. Sometimes there's things that we can do. You know, sometimes you see something going on in the world and tender-hearted people know this. And they feel helpless. They're like, there's really nothing they can do but observe and pray. But there's not something that they can take action and do and put their hand on, but you can always pray. That's something that they can never take from you. People can't take that from you. The devil, nobody can take away your ability to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless you are incapacitated mentally, right? Or you're not on the side of eternity. So you can always pray. But tenderhearted people like to put their hand to the plow. And so when they're not able to, it makes them feel some sort of way because that's just naturally what they want to do. They want to help in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And so how much more should we be like that?
Absolutely.
How much more should we want to help and do what God has called us to do? Because we can't just take on everything. Everything ain't for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our idea of help is enabling. Sometimes we're just getting in the way. Sometimes we're just slowing things up. Sometimes we're stealing from somebody's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to do it in love and obedience. We have to be doing what God wants us to do, not just what we think is the right thing to do. Because even the Word of God says that people think that they're doing things right. Maybe thinking that their ways are the right ways, but be in error.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men really believe that. I mean, when I say men, I'm saying mankind, humans, believe that their way is the right way because it makes sense. You know, we have all these reasons why we typically believe that we're doing the right things. You know, that's the right thing to do. My neighbor said he needed $5, so I just gave him $5. That was the right thing to do. But really, God could be dealing with your neighbor. He could be trying to humble your neighbor. So even though it seems in your mind that seems to be the right thing to do, that might not be what God wanted you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just typically how people are. We do what makes sense. But we know that we serve a God whose ways are beyond our ways. So the things he tells us to do very well may not make sense. But we need to be willing to do it anyway, out of love. Putting aside, like, man, that doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've been in several situations like that where I'm like, this makes not a lick of sense, Lord, but I'm going to do it because this is what you want me to do, and I desire to be obedient and be used. Because I've seen obedience by others and how it has impacted my life, where I knew that if that person wouldn't have did it, something, you know, I wouldn't have benefited somehow, or I would have missed something, you know, not say that God couldn't use somebody else, but I don't know because that wasn't my story. I only could go by what happened. And I've seen people's obedience bless me and God use people's obedience.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I went to the store. God told me to go to the store, go to the grocery store. I didn't want to go, but I went anyway. And so I'm like, I'm here, you know, and so I walked in. What do I need? I didn't need anything from the store. So he said, go to the cereal aisle. So I'm like, okay. So I go to the cereal aisle. I'm like, okay. What cereal do I grab? You know, Frosted Flakes. What are we doing today? Honey, bunches of oats, Rice Krispies. Like, why am I here? And he said, wait. And I did. And this guy comes up to me. And I can tell he was a little nervous. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But he just started prophesying over me. And afterwards, he's kind of giving me the half look, like, is he accepting this?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to call the cops, say I'm crazy? You know, he's trying to figure it out. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. And he said, when he saw that I was receptive, it's almost like, oh, like, he did this, like, you know, sigh. And he said God told him to come to the store and go to the cereal aisle, that somebody would be there, and that he told him what he was to tell me. And I can say that some of the things he told me then, I have seen now. They have come to pass. And I needed that at that particular time of my life because of the events that happened shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. It's like God was giving me vision for my future, so that when my current got disrupted, I wouldn't focus on that because God had already given me a word about my future. So I couldn't really get too hung up on the disruption of the now. Because a lot of the times when our now is disrupted, what causes us a lot of anxiety or grief or stress is because we start to worry about our future.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God that man was obedient.
Yeah.
And when God said go to the grocery store and to the cereal aisle, which I don't even know if he ate cereal. Everybody doesn't eat cereal, you know? It's like God told me go to the, you know, the butcher block where the beef is. I don't eat beef. So I don't know how nonsensical that looked to that guy that even did it. Because that might have been, he might be like, Lord, you know I don't eat cereal, you know? I don't know. But he did it. He said God told him go to cereal and there'll be somebody there. And sure enough, I was there, and then he came. So I know he was like, and I was the only one in the aisle. And it was just us two. What's the odds of that? It wasn't like it was super late at night. This was like the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's eating cereal, you know what I mean? So he knew it was me because I was the only one there. And needless to say, he did prophesy. So it's like, He doesn't realize, he didn't know what his act of obedience was doing for me, for my future. That I when things got disrupted, I had a reference point to, no, because God sent that guy to tell me, so I already know I'm going to be okay.
Right.
So when that stress tried to come and the devil tried to come screaming, not even whispering in my ear, I'm like, no, because God already prepped me for what's to come. So I don't know how I'm going to get there, but God already said I'm going to get there, so I trust that. And so even some other events that he prophesied, they came to pass, so that he prophesied a few things over me. And a couple of things had happened before my life got disrupted. So I already knew that he was true to what he was saying because some of the other prophecies he gave me had came to pass. So I didn't have any reason to believe him to be a false prophet. So I say all that to say it's important for us to be obedient because our obedience is tied to other people, and we have no idea the impact that we are having in other people's lives. You might give somebody a word. They might, you know, they might not know what you're talking about. You really might look like, you know, a complete kook to that person until 6 months later, something goes down and now it makes sense. So it doesn't even matter, you know, because I've had that happen where I'm like telling somebody something, giving them a word, and they're like, no. None of it's resonating, doesn't sound familiar, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, that's what I got. And, you know, you just move on and trust God. So we can't even say, okay, because, you know, what if he would have started prophesying over me and I started doing a slow backup, like, It's not about the reception of of the people that we're called for. It's about being obedient to God and doing what he has told us to do. That's what's important. So let's pray for a tender heart so that we can do the things that that God has called us to do, and so that we can be obedient. Because we won't know. Sometimes we'll know the impact. You know, you might be blessed to run into a person that prophesied over you, or run into a person that God used, or even in that moment to be able to tell them, hey, you know, unbeknownst to you, I was going through this, and then here you called me, or you blessed me with this, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes it is where you know right away, but sometimes we won't know on this side, and that doesn't matter. What matters is being obedient and doing things in love. So let's take off the religious stuff that we get caught up in, that religious bondage. I speak against that religious bondage. And Lord, we speak that we want to walk in love, Father God. Give us a tender heart, Jesus, so that we could walk in love and obedience, and we could be used by you to be impactful in this earth as representatives of your kingdom. There's all this stuff going on. Everybody wants to be part of a group or part of something, and they want representation. We see that all over the internet. Representation matters. That's a term that's gaining, you know, traction. Representation matters. Well, you have the right to be represented, Lord. Let us be representatives of the kingdom of God. Let us be representatives of the word of God. Let us be representatives of the power of the one and only true God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Let us represent you while everything else in this earth is striving to be represented. Let us be representatives of you, Father God, and walk in love and obedience. Let us to take off all the cravings of the world. Let's remove those and crave obedience, crave order, crave truth, wisdom, peace. But ultimately to crave your will be done as it is in heaven on earth. Let us as a people take off the things of the world, the stink of the world, the stench of the world, and to put on our righteous robes and represent Christ fully. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to represent you. We thank you for choosing us and trusting us with your purpose and your intentions. And we just pray that we do everything that you desire for us to do, that you've purposed us to do, because you knew us before you formed us in our mothers, when you already had a plan for us when we came into the earth. So help us to be able to fulfill all the plans that you have for our life. So Lord, we just thank you, and we love you, and we honor you, and we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. A good word. That's a really, really, really good word. That's when you walk in an assurance, you just said, Wow, man. Ooh. You know, God really, really continues to speak. And again, you know, man, Tanisha, we never talk about what we're going to minister on or anything, but the Lord had already given me a 1 Peter 3. I'm gonna read from the Amplified, and then we're gonna get into answering some cards. But this is just a confirmation and basically like a foundation. 1 Peter 3:13. Now who is there to hurt you if you become enthusiastic for what is good? Now who is that it hurt you if you become enthusiastic for what is good? Now, who is that it hurt you if you become enthusiastic for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, though it is not certain that you will, you're still blessed, happy to be admired and favored by God. Do not be afraid of their intimidating threats, nor be troubled or disturbed by their opposition, but in your heart set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance elicited by faith that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And see to it that your conscience is entirely clear, so that every time you are slandered or falsely accused, those who attack or disparage your good behavior in Christ will be ashamed by their own words. So, man, God is protecting us. You know, like Tanisha was saying, you know, we really have to move forward in our approach. And God is protecting us, and he gives us clear instruction. I mean, he starts out with just like, it's confidence. It says, now who is there to hurt you if you become enthusiastic for what is good? So in other words, you ain't got to explain a doggone thing when you're standing for what is right. You just stand for what is right. You don't have to sit up here. You don't have to compromise. You state the truth and you go on. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fight with the truth. The truth is what it is. The one that doesn't believe it is fighting with the truth, not you.
Right.
So in other words, who gonna hurt you if you are standing for what is right? Standing for what God wants. Standing for the will of God to be done here in this earth. Who gonna hurt you? And so that causes you, when you hear scriptures like that, it puts you in the mindset of never walking in fear. Mm-hmm. Because you're always protected. When you start to think about how you can protect yourself, you know, you'll start to get a little weary and a little worried about things. You know, what if I don't see it coming? You ain't got to worry about it when you are trusting in the Lord and you're standing for what is right. He says, who can hurt you? And so let's not walk in any fear. We got to really walk in full assurance. It's not an arrogance at all. It's an assurance. It's like if somebody were to call me Todd. Hey, Todd. Hey. You right there with the black shirt on. Todd. But I know it's not my name. Why am I answering to it? I would explain, hey, my name isn't Todd. It's Terrence. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to let someone know what my name is, what I stand for. And that's what we do with the enemy. We let the enemy know what we stand on, what we stand for, who we're standing for, who we rolling with, who we serving, who we believing in. So because he going to continue to try to antagonize you and message you, hey, call you out your name. Hey, Todd. Even after you're not already told, my name is Terrence, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, hey, Todd. See, at that point, you have to ignore the devil, and he will flee.
Mm-hmm.
But long as he got you engaged and focused on him, he's looking at it as always an opportunity. you know, to get you to flow his way and to do things the way that he wants them done. And so that's why we have to study the Word of God. That's why we definitely have to know what the Word of God says so we can walk in that confidence and that assurance. Because when you know, anything outside of that, you know it's opposition. It's a lie. Anything contrary to that, you know, it's nothing. If it's not lining up to what God says, man, it's dead. Don't give it life. I look at lies as like the tree of life. When God had given Adam instructions in the Garden of Eden, and he shared them with his wife, and then the enemy still came in, even though they got instructions. They were manipulated to believe the lie. They were enticed. They were tempted. Temptation came. Let me see if this is the truth. You know, but the thing is, you didn't know the truth. You know, the Bible talks about we should be made free, you know, when we know the truth. And so you don't have to ask, is that the truth, when you know the truth?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like with Adam and Eve, they heard the truth. But when you give your ear, and it just goes to show that even when you can hear the truth, you can still have moments to where you can be manipulated and caught up, and then take the truth and do away with the truth and make a lie the truth, and put yourself in harm's way. You know, that's us. That's why we're saved by grace. You know, and so it's very beneficial for us to know that. So even as believers, and we're walking in our heirship and kingdomship, that we don't become arrogant. Don't be walking in taking confidence out of context.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence can become arrogant, and then that's when you fall. Because even it became arrogant in the garden. Anytime you do anything outside of the will of God, that means that you are putting yourself in his position to make decisions. So you are becoming arrogant. You have become arrogant at that moment. And you're out of line. And so let's be so careful, you know, not to do that. Period, because it's easy. It's easy to get caught up. Very, very easy. Very easy. Very easy to get caught up. And we can't be oblivious to these things. That's why we have to constantly pray. That's why we have to constantly be uplifting one another and praying for each other's strength. Because when the enemy knows you know the truth, he's going to try to get you to come and question. He's going to try to come to get you to question the truth. Because when you begin to question the truth, then you open the door for him. And that's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They questioned the truth. You know, and they welcomed the lie in and were deceived.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Christ. He came and fulfilled everything. And that's why we can truly walk in confidence now. That Adam and Eve didn't walk in under, because we're covered in the blood. We are covered in the blood of Jesus. The sacrificial lamb gave his life for us so that we can have this day that we're witnessing right now, this moment, this very hour, exists because of the blood. And so we thank God for sending his son to save us. You know, we save us from ourselves. And so we it's our prayer that not only we as the body of believers get stronger, but that we become the new influencers. That we begin to have influencing power to draw people in. To draw people in so that they can give their lives to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. We're going to get into some calls. And we're going to do prefixes, area codes prefixes. And we're going to go on down because we got a lot of calls. So I'm gonna turn it over to my beautiful wife. That's my controller. That's the audio and she's the production team.
All right. Oh, yeah, we do have a lot of people on top. All right. Let's start with the first caller. It's 919-292.
919-292?
Mm-hmm.
Who's speaking with?
No, I didn't unmute. Are you unmuting?
Ah, okay. You just want to do 919. Okay. 919-292.
Yeah, did you want to unmute and get named?
Oh, go ahead. I thought you had unmuted me.
Yeah, we can unmute. 292, let's unmute and get names. 919-292, who are we speaking to?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Shaquala. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Shaquala?
It's good. You finally got that rock up off
me? I got that wet off me?
You got that rock up off you? Climb, crawl away from under the rock you've been hiding under.
I have. I've been working a lot, so I haven't been able to get on.
Okay. Well, we're going to pray for time, freedom, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody man, we're gonna get to the bag, all right? We're going to get to the natural bag. I just believe that this year is that supernatural things are occurring in your life, like supernatural existences, like things that quote unquote wouldn't normally happen. You're gonna witness this year, Shaquille. You're gonna witness this because you know God knows you love him, and so just like with the scripture I was reading tonight, let me go to it. This is. Okay, it says, do not be afraid of their intimidating threats, nor be troubled or disturbed by their opposition. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and comfort and assurance elicited by faith that is within you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. It's like God is really teaching you when you're dealing with people and they come to you with certain things, God is really teaching you how to get your point across in gentleness.
Mm.
You know, because me, I still get hot sometimes. You know, when I hear people saying some more ignorant stuff, but I know the enemy is using them to try to manipulate the situation to get me out of character, you know. But the Lord told me, you know, he says that I am that I am. And so when you know something, you know, you can say it once. And if somebody don't want to believe it, I ain't got to keep explaining you. I already told you what my name is. You keep calling me out of my name as long as you want. I'm not going to answer to it. And so God is showing you what to answer to and what to give energy to and power to in your life. You know, because a lot of people that come to you and ask you a question, they're not really coming sincerely to ask you a question. The enemy comes to ask questions to try to get you all riled up to act out of character. You know, but you can walk in confidence. You don't have to be afraid or intimidated by the threats of the enemy. Ah, you don't know what you're talking about. How you know this real, man? Wrote that too. You know, but me and my wife, we both have had similar situations with dealing with people. Especially I've dealt with people from all different types of religions, because I used to be a barber. And in the barbershop, you got all type of people that come through with different types of beliefs and everything. And sometimes you can get overwhelmed because you be like, dog, I didn't even know that was a belief.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know you could believe that, you know. But you know who's sincerely coming to you and truly wanting to know.
Right.
Versus those that's coming to you to try to pick a fight.
Yeah.
They don't care. You can hit them with truth all day. They don't really care. They just want to get you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And so God is going to protect you from that. He's going to like highlight, like he's going to give you like key words that's going to be like triggers. Be like, don't even engage. You know, don't even engage.
Thank you,
Jesus. Because you're so passionate, and you be like, you know what, man, I can't let nobody just come up to me and be saying all kind of stuff. But, you know, they're throwing their own seat. You ain't going to do this. They're throwing their own seat. And so you still accountable for your seat and not allowing them to get you to move out of character. And then you'll be sowing a seed in which you'll have to reap the harvest of. And so that's what I got for you.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Shaquayla, Father God. We thank you for the passion that you've given her to fulfill the work that you have started in her life. And we thank you, Father God, for the shield of protection and her understanding what it looks like. What is protection? Understanding what your protection looks like. That sometimes your protection is just saying, you know, don't say nothing. Sometimes your protection is saying, don't go here. Sometimes your protection is saying, link up with this person. But her really understanding what it means to be protected and knowing that she's protected. And we thank you, Father God, for giving her the discernment to understand the motives of people. Because people could come off one way. They could come off very helpful. They could come off like they really want to contribute and add to, and really they're there to subtract. They're really there to cause chaos. They're really there with bad intentions. But their actions are saying something different, and we're taught that action speaks louder than words, but really we need to be focused on intent, because some actions can lie too. People can lie, not just with their words, but they can lie with their actions because they have ill intent. And they'll even talk the talk and make it seem like that's why it's deception. It wouldn't be deception if we could see it. They're deceiving. So give her the discernment, Lord, to see the intentions of people and to move accordingly. And that might make people say, well, why are you not wanting to do this? This person, they seem like a good person, or they seem like they're trying to help or whatever. And she said, I just don't feel led to do it. Thank you for the offer, but I'm going to decline. So even give her the words to where it's not coming off as nasty, where she's very polite about being able to shut down a person who she knows has bad intentions. But from the outside, it's looking like they don't. So that she's not offending those who are watching. Because we never try to offend people, because your word says offended brother. It's easier to penetrate a city that has walls up than an offended brother. So we don't want to offend people. That's not our focus, but we try not to. But help her to have the word so that there's not offense. If offense happens, it just happens, but that's not the intent. Not trying to offend anybody. We try to do everything in our power not to, but that doesn't mean that it won't happen anyway, and we don't focus on that. And so we just thank you, Lord, that even when she does shut down people that have bad intentions, that it will come around later to where people will then trust her judgment to say, wait, how did you know that? How did you know not to do that? Or how did you know to do this or whatever? And she can give her testimony. Well, you know, I trust God. And that will make people trusting of her judgment. That will give her a reputation of being a woman of sound judgment and wisdom. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was powerful. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's some good discernment to have. I mean, I've experienced many times where I knew something was up with a person, and from the outside, they looked like they were just, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, and I'm like, And people couldn't understand. They're thinking I'm like, oh, you know, Tisha, why are you not giving that person a chance? They're really trying and all this. And I'm like, I'm not saying they're not trying. I just, something's off, you know. And then it comes out later that this person was like almost the devil himself. People are like, how did you know? And I'm like, something was off. Like God was where I was like, I just didn't want to, I didn't want to engage. I didn't want to combine. I didn't want to be a part of that. And so people did start to seek me for wisdom, because I was never mean to the person. I just was very, it was always a no. Like, hey, Tanisha, no, thank you though, you know, but no thanks. And that's what I see with you, that you're going to see things for what they really are. And people want that. People tend to, they want to, quote, keep it real. They want realness, and they want to see, but that's when you can see things like that, that's actually kind of difficult, because nobody else can see it most of the time. You're the only one. So you look like the oddball. And we live in a society now that if you go against the grain, you're a quote unquote hater, and you're not even hating. You're literally just seeing things for what they are. And so that's why I believe God's going to even give you the verbiage and know how to move around in that, to where it's not looking like you're being mean or a hater or whatever the case may be, where it just looks like you just move different, you know, where you're just like, no, you know, I'm going to have to, no, thank you. You know, you're just polite about it. I don't necessarily think I was polite about it when I was in that situation. It was just, I was very sharp. No, you know, with no explanation. And what about my business? And people are like looking at, oh, Tanisha's so mean. No, I'm just very firm. But I believe that you're really going to have that. It's going to build your reputation to where people are going to seek you for decisions, and they're going to kind of want you to fill out things. And you know, God will use you to do it at first, and then he'll start to have you wean them, where you're like, okay, you know, the same God that answered me can answer you. You know, sometimes people get lazy. They start going to you for everything. I mean, I have people that's like, hey, I'm about to get fired from my job. Should I let them fire me or should I quit? I'm like, well, did you pray about it? What are you hearing? Like, they'll start to depend on everything that you say. And so in the beginning, God will kind of use you to coddle them, and then he'll use you to wean them and say, no, you need to go to God directly. You know, you can't just use me as your in-between. Jesus is our in-between, not me. I didn't die on the cross. You know, so just be prepared for that too. For one, when you know, it's not all peaches and cream, because you're going to be going against what everybody else thinks, because most people base their decisions on what they can see. Oh, Susie seems so nice. She always brings in mashed potatoes to the potluck, and, you know, all this stuff. And you're like, no. No, she seems nice, or she's bringing in the really good mashed potatoes, and she's so helpful and all that, but you can see something else. You're like, no, I see that Jezebel spirit, or I see whatever the case may be, I see something. And so when you're the only one that can see it, that could be difficult. And then when people start to recognize the gift in you and want to kind of, they'll want to constantly pull from you, that can be difficult too.
Mm-hmm.
So just be prepared for that. God will help you navigate through it, but, you know, it can be difficult to be in both of those positions, especially at the same time. So it's a blessing and it's a burden, but it's one that God's going to use you, and he's going to get the glory. So just be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jesus, and I thank y'all. It's always a pleasure to speak to y'all.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to speak to you as well. Did you have anything in particular that you wanted prayer for before we let you go?
Just my I want to pray for my family, and I need a vacation. I want to take a vacation. So.
Okay, we're always down for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's pray for
family
your family.
And vacation.
And vacation, all right. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus for a touch and an agreement. With Shaquayla, Father God, that you would come in and intervene in her family. Help them to operate in the matters of fact. Not ego, not, oh, I'm older, or you should have more respect for me because this, that, and the other, but operating in the matters of fact and letting go of all that other stuff that could complicate things. And help Shaquayla be able to provide sound wisdom to her family and help her to not get caught up when there's like drama and all that kind of stuff. Because sometimes there's fights where people are on opposing sides. Sometimes people are fighting because they just want to fight. They're not even fighting to win. They just want drama. And so help her to not associate or attach herself when it's a futile fight. Nobody's not even trying to win. It's just people are just trying to be drama field, to help her not to attach to that, to just remove herself when those type of situations come up. And Lord, we just pray for the blessings of a vacation, a relaxing vacation. Let her have the funds that she needs, the time that she needs, everything that she needs, Father God, provided to her, where she could unplug completely and just focus on relaxation and having a good time and refreshing. And take her to a place, Lord, where that she's always wanted to go. And bless her, Father God, and completely blow her mind with it being a place that she wouldn't think that in the natural she could afford. But you use your hand, work your hands, Father God, so that a chain of events happens where she's able to partake in a dream vacation. Where she can only say, that's nothing but God, because I couldn't afford that in the natural. But my Father in heaven, he's the owner of everything. He owns even this place that I'm vacationing. So he has the means of sending his daughter there if that's what he wants. So we just thank you for that favor, Father God, for that favor and that relaxation. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God, so much. And God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. God bless you as well. Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off before. What was you saying before? I'm sorry.
I say y'all take care and God bless y'all. I pray, you know, what y'all do for others, like God give it back to y'all like 100-fold. And I know that he's going to take y'all. He's getting ready to take y'all to a new level in him. So I just thank y'all. I just thank y'all. And I ask y'all that he continue to use y'all, mightily.
Amen. Thank you. We received that.
You stay encouraged.
Yeah, stay encouraged. Stay strong in the Lord. Be weak when you need to, but stay strong in him, because when you're weak, he's made strong. Remember that.
Yes.
You ain't got to be strong all the time. Amen. All right. All right, let's get to our next caller here. 919-801, who are we speaking to?
Nine one nine eight zero one.
I was thinking about We'll be back.
We'll be back.
334-590. Hey, it's
Jayla. Hey, Jayla, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
We're good. You said Jayla Whalen?
Mm-hmm.
Gave you a new name.
Yeah, that's
Jayla. We used to do that, and as kids, I don't know if you guys did it, but there was like a song that we would sing, like Banana Fana, Fofana, and we would like remix our names. It was so, yeah, it was fun.
My family does that with my name.
Oh, do they?
That's what made me laugh.
You trying to act like I don't know that pull up on the South?
I don't know. You know, I think it's a kid thing. I didn't know if you guys did it too.
Yeah, it was a whole West Coast moment right there. That's cold.
Mine was always ugly. It was always Tanisha, Bisha, Bobisha. That just sounds so ugly. I'm like, can't you sound different? I went to go with a Tamisha, too.
Tamisha, Weisha, Fofisha.
Yuck. It's ugly, too.
I mean, I don't know what else he's supposed to
write. Yeah, I just don't have a good rhyming name. But Jayla Whalen sounds, that's a cute one.
Jayla Whalen.
Fela, Wela, Fofela, something like that. That's how
we... The Jayla, Wela, we talk later.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too.
Wow. Thanks for calling, Jayla. We know we love you.
Yes, let's pray for you.
God does, too. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for Jayla, Father God. We just thank you for... It's like God's giving you reminders. I'm hearing like reminder. He's reminding you that you are anointed, reminding you that you are chosen, reminding you that you're of the righteousness of him,
mm-hmm.
reminding you that you are above and not beneath, reminding you that you are the head and not the tail, reminding you that you will never have to beg bread, reminding you that whatever you seek, whatever you seek, you will find, reminding you that grace is with you. Always like God is just reminding you of these things. It's like the things, it's coming to you new. You're in a phase of reminding or refreshing.
Mm.
Like getting a refresher. Like this stuff I already know, but let me go on and hear it again and get repolished, polished up because there's a task ahead. And you need to get ready for it. You need to be ready for it. You know, because when things hit you, you got to know what's needed in that moment. It's like, let's say, a janitor, you know, he sees some dirt on the floor. You know, he got options on how to get that dirt up, but he's going to pretty much go with the best option. You know, the most effective way, God's going to show you how to do things effectively and efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you want to have a lasting effect on people and you want to be dead on when you do it. You want to be efficient with it. You want to be keen with it. And so God is reminding you of these things. You've been taught these things. But now you're going into a phase to where it's time to really get to work. So he's reminding you of who you are because there's a confidence that you're going to need, Jayla. You have to be confident in him, not confident in Jayla, but confident in him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jayla can never get it done. Not the way God can.
Wow.
So if you want it done right the first time and you want it to last, just do it the way God wants you to do it. Just be available to him. You already know. You already know. So he's reminding you of these things. And it's like blowing the dust off an old record or something. My wife got plenty of records in there. She was in the gym a couple weeks ago, last
mm-hmm.
week or whatever. They closed your door. You know,
I know how she is when she's with her records. You know, those are babies, you know. And she gets in there and pull the dust off the things and gets to playing them old records and you hear that popper, you know. But it's classic, you know, and that's her thing. And so she's in her place. And it takes her back to a place because music, it transcends time and it you know, triggers some nostalgic points, you know, with how music is. And so, like, the word of God is going to be like music to your ears now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to bring back that moment, you know, when you first received him, that moment when you said, for God I live, for God I die, you know. You know, we all mm-hmm. been in that point. I'm going to follow Jesus, it's no matter what. And here comes like, and you like, Jesus? I know what I said, Lord, but goodness, man, I wasn't expecting this, you know. But it's the consistency. Like, I had a conversation with a coworker the other day, and we were sharing. And he asked, we were talking. I said, man, I said, I just want to make a lot of money as easy as possible. And he told him, I said, I pray that God that, and he's like, I can't even argue with you and tell you, man, you shouldn't even ask God for that. But I said, yeah, ain't no argument to have. You know, because God told me to, he said, they that worship him in spirit and in truth. So how am I going to come to God lying if I don't want to work hard for money? Why would I be coming to the Lord whatever way you want to bless me? You know, satisfied with Lord, just giving the strength to press through it. You know, I could give the religious thing to say, the popular thing to say, instead of being truthful.
Wow.
I want to say the truthful thing. We always talk about being real, man. So be real with the Lord. Lord, thank me. Ask. Holler at me. But if you're going to come to me, I need you to come to me correct. Mm. I need you to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me what's on your mind. And that's it. And that I know that God, that prayer God has already answered. And with me, it's just M-O-T, amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
When I pray, I believe it. And I expect it. I don't give a doggone how long it takes. I know what I ask for. I know what I pray for. I know what I'm believing for. Like Job said, though you slay me, yet I will. Yet I'm going to trust you. Regardless. Okay, how long it take? I'm still riding with you, Lord. You know, mm-hmm. but God just take you through that reminiscing phase. We apologize for the technical difficulty. God take you through that reminiscing phase to remind you of who he is and who you are in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, expect this fire to come back, Taylor. Like it's burning. You know, I know you've been wanting that for a while. And it hasn't gone anywhere. It's just when you're going through phases in your life, you know, God is still showing you things and teaching you things
mm-hmm.
as you grow and develop. And don't be in a hurry to get there. Just be confident in your walk.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like, look, man, I don't care how long it takes. I ain't in a hurry. I know what God said. So be patient with you. Be patient with people around you. Give people what you want them to give you. And never deviate from that. Don't start giving people what they give you. You always give people what you want in return. Because you are accountable for your seed. You know, a lot of us make decisions based off of what people do and don't do for us. Mm-hmm. And we begin to govern our actions based off of how we feel about how others should be acting toward us and this, that, and other. No, I'm going to be me. So what, you don't speak to me? Every time I see you, I'm going to say hello. Because that's what I do.
Wow.
I'm not going to conform to how you are. If I conform to you are, that means I'm just like you.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So who am I to be mad at you when I'm going to do the same thing you've been doing to me?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'm going to stand my ground, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to set the standard. I'm going to show you who I am. But what, you don't speak? Yes, not, that ain't got nothing to do with me. That's your problem, not mine. Hey, how you doing? I'm going to look you dead in your eyes when I do it, so you know. And keep moving forward. Because I am setting the bar. I'm letting you know how it's going to roll with me. And how you going to move with me. You don't dictate how I move. But so many of us get caught up in that,
mm-hmm.
and really allow other people to dictate our behavior based off of how we felt about something that they did or did not do.
Wow.
Not based off what we were mandated to do and what we should do. We're so focused on what they did or didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord tell you to work out your own salvation and not nobody else's.
Wow.
But yeah, God will take you a trip back down memory lane and reminding you and giving you that, like some hot coals that's just been sitting there. I need a little breeze to come through, and the fire just needs a little oxygen. And here comes the flame again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just really see you lighting up. Like a flame, like you're burning like never before during this season of your life. And we thank God for that.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's what I was getting when you were talking about the fire. It's like one thing that I can honestly say is that we really go through phases in our walk with God. Like, you know, sometimes you feel like you're on fire, and sometimes you're like, is my fire gone? No, sometimes you simmer.
Mm-hmm.
You're still, the flame is still there, hot as it was before. You know, just like when you cook, if you have a gas stove, if you put it on high, it's going to cook faster. If you put it on simmer or low, it's gonna cook slow.
Mm-hmm.
But as any good cook, though, sometimes the best food comes from the slow cook. It has time for it to settle in and mix in properly. And the flavor sets in.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you go through them slow simmering phases of your life, measure which in your walk with God, because it's trying to get some things to set, to become mixed in with you, to change the way you taste, to change the way you're received. People could tell when something's been cooked fast and flash cooked versus something been sitting. They'd be like, this is good, but you know, when it's flash cooked, they're like, oh, what's in this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can't tell what's in it. They know something. Like, okay, it's good, but what's in it? Like, I can't tell. But when it's been simmering, they be like, ooh, I could taste the basil. I could taste the heavy whipping cream. They could taste everything that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing when you're going through that phase of God where you're on low flame. He's letting you simmer so that you can be, it's just a mixing. He's trying to mix that will. He's trying to mix that purpose in with you. And also, like Karen said, don't match energies with people. That's something that people like to do today. I'm a match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a match energy. So if you own this, I'm on that too. No, we're not doing that.
Wow.
We're not matching energies. That's what we're not going to do.
Oh, God.
We're going to do what God says. And sometimes I know more than anybody that's easy. That's easy for me to do, to match energy with somebody. But I have to be like, okay, God, how do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to handle this person?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of matching energies. Because when we match energies, now we're serving their energy. And what's fueling them? They're not powered by Jesus. So now that's how the devil is always looking for a way to get in. So if he knows that that's your thing, that you get emotional and you'll start operating in emotions, he's going to use people that are serving him, unbeknownst to them, and he's going to get them to do some stuff, knowing that you're going to match energy, and now you're in essence serving his agenda because you're doing what he wants you to do, not what God wants you to do. It's a trick of the enemy.
Wow.
It is a trick of the energy. I mean, of the you know, of that too, of the energy and of the enemy.
Yeah.
It's a trick.
Mm.
He's like, got her. Yeah, because I know she can't stand this one. So I'm going to have her come around and act crazy and do all this. And so she can act crazy and do all that too. Like a puppy. Ooh, she's going to do exactly what she say to do. And she even spoke it. Yeah, we matching energies all 2022. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be excited. Yeah, and we just don't even know. We just a little puppet on the string when we do that. I see even believers saying, I'm matching energy. I'm on whatever you on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Choose you this day who you will serve.
Come on.
So if you're going to serve that, what that person's energy is, you're serving that person and whoever is their God. So I'm not serving that. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because that's easy to do. That's weak. It's easy to match energies with people. It takes strength when somebody really be coming at you wrong or just really on bull and you have to be pleasant or, you know, do something that you don't want to do because you're like, I know if the script was flipped and I asked them to do it, they wouldn't do it for me, so why should I do it for them? But it's not about that. It's about just doing what God tells you to do. Because that's the way we operate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of seeds we sow. Because sometimes we be the ones on the bull. And we wouldn't want somebody to match energy to us when it's the flip side. Everybody
mm-hmm.
has their, everybody doesn't have where they're just doing everything right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We will get into our feelings and we will have, you know, rough days or where we're just doing whatever. There could be something going on, personal or internal. There's all sorts of reasons why people will have an off day. And we don't want people matching energies with us when we're having a rough day.
Right.
And so when people are, you know, unpleasant or whatever they're on that day and we don't match energy, we're sowing a seed. We need those.
Mm-hmm.
We need those seeds. We need that grace. And that's how you look at it. Like, ooh, I'm not going to match energy. I'm going to give grace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give grace. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to show restraint because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to show you the love of God even though you don't know that Jesus saved you. He just saved you from my mouth. He saved you from my actions. He saved you from the imaginary energies and you don't even know it. And I just pray one day you get it that Jesus just spared you from my wrath. And it's proof to me how the love of God is and that how God's grace is because he is using me to give you grace. This is God's grace operating through me because I don't want to give you nothing but your same energy, but I'm going to give you God's grace. So I see God's grace. You got to flip the way you look at it.
Because mm-hmm.
sometimes our ego starts to puff up. Are you going to let them talk to you like that? That's weak. That's your ego talking. Tell that ego to be quiet. Take a hike. Go skip rocks.
Right.
Or kick rocks or whatever you want to do with the rocks. Throw them in the lake. Do something. Right. I'm not focusing on that. Who cares? Who make it look weak to who? To people who can't make or break me? People who I won't stand in front of in judgment when I die? People who have not provided me the breath of life? People who don't have a will and purpose that didn't design me or know me before I was formed in my mother? Who cares?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Again, no bills. They are not helping with the gas situation. Who cares? And that's the type of conversation that you are going to have with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to really strengthen your self-talk. We know self-talk is important because David had to do it. David had a lot of self-talk. David was probably the most bipolar character that we can find in the Word of God from a medical standpoint. I don't think he was bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
He was human. We all have moments where we all have highs and lows. That's just humanity. But if we were to label the most bipolar we would say was David, because he was all over the place. But he had to do a lot of self-talk. He had to encourage himself. You got to encourage yourself. God's going to really give you some good self-talk to where it can even be humorous. Like Terrence and I use humor for almost everything. We will make songs, jokes, to make it easier for us. Do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Where when somebody be, you like, you know what I really want to do, but what I'm going to do, and then we'll make a song about it or something. Some
mm-hmm.
create a song to help us get through it so that we're not focused on the wrong things. Because here comes the enemy. He always wants you to focus on the wrong things. Then people are going to think you a sucker. Then people are going to think, they're going to take advantage of you. They're going to doormat today. Blah, blah, blah. Like, be quiet. I'm doing what God told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord, we just thank you right now, Father God, for Jayla. We thank you for the focus being on you and not matching energies or not doing what other people do, but doing what you wanted to do. Because she's sowing seeds. Because she's pleasing you.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's showing people who she serves. Because it will cause people to think, why is she still doing this? And why she didn't do that? And why? It will come up in them. Why? Maybe they'll ask. But she can use it as a testimony. And it keeps her hands clean. Because we are in a fertile season right now. And the enemy is going to try to use every trick to try to get us to either not sow our seeds or to sow bad ones. He wants us to either waste our seed or not, or sow bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
And help her not get caught up in that. We thank you that she's not going to be caught up in those tricks of the energy. I mean, of the, the energy. Woo, Lord, I just rebuke that a lot of people in the world are using the term energy and it really means enemy.
Mm.
They're saying it really means enemy. It's the enemy and they don't even know it. They're serving energy. And they're all about energy and all this stuff. And energy is a real thing. But the context that they're using it in, it is synonymous with enemy. And so help us even, and help Jayla and all of us be very mindful of our speech.
Right.
Because we could be saying one thing, but really what other people, the way they're saying it, it doesn't have the same definition of what we mean. We mean an actual energy balls of energy that are within people and all that, and they're meaning the enemy. So help us even as believers be mindful of our speech. That we say, you know, if somebody says, I'm gonna match energies with you, and they're telling us that, and you say, I don't do that. I match will with the Lord. Because I don't know what's fueling your energy. All energy ain't created the same. I might be on some unleaded, you on some. So I'm just going to let, I'm powered by the Holy Spirit. So if that's the energy you're talking about, then that's different. But if that's not the energy you're talking about, then we're not talking about the same thing. So help us to be mindful of our words and the definitions. And if we think we're having a conversation with somebody and we're using the same word, that we will define what we mean so that they know what we're talking about. Because we could be having a conversation using the same words, but both of us have different definitions. So use Jayla to even expose that. To identify what people really mean when they're using certain words. Because just because they're using a word don't mean that it defined the same way. And a lot of people that's using energy, it's really some devil mess.
Mm-hmm.
So use it to expose that. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. I really don't have, like... Everything that you all have said has been like things that I've been talking to God about, even just my thoughts. The last portion of what you just said too about like just being mindful of what you say. Me and my friend literally just did a whole podcast episode yesterday about like speaking and how important words are and things of that nature, and like how you literally, like the words that you say, like a lot of people don't know the definitions of it. And it's like, it really creates the world that we live in. Like literally everything that you all said has just been stuff that God is just, I don't even have words. I'm sorry. Like it just makes me so happy because it's like, I know that God is like really trying to speak to me about certain things and like the things that's like on my mind, the things I'm talking about, you know, just every single thing. And I just feel it. And like you're saying with parents, like about the whole thing, like getting that fire back for God. Like I was reading my Bible the other day and I was literally just thinking about, like, when I first got, like, I guess, really filled with the Spirit, I guess you would say, and, like, really, really trying to cultivate a deeper relationship with God, I was just trying to, I'm like, what happened to that? Like, why am I not as excited? Well, I get excited when I, like, get, you know, read my words and certain things hit me and stuff like that, but, like, it was just a different type of passion I felt like I had when I was, like, you know, first getting, you know, immersing myself back into, like, fully with God. So it's just, wow, God is just so, so good. And I love y'all so, so much for always allowing him to use you all, because that was nothing but God, like, what just came out of you, both, like, both of you all's mouth. Like, wow.
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 Mm. God is good. I just think, you know, I love when he confirms, when you're just doing your thing and you're just like, eh, I'm doing this. I feel like I need to do it. And then here comes God confirming, like, yeah, you're on the right path. Man, that confidence, like Terrence was talking about, that confidence you have, now you're just really going to be confident doing podcasts or speaking to people or whatever, because you know that you know, like, this is God telling me to put this message out there, you know? So that's always a really good feeling.
Amen.
Always. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just continue to do what you do. Because like you said, that whole word thing, Terrence and I were talking about that even the other day. We were talking about people's words and that how you got to have a meeting of the mind. You really have to say, well, what do you mean when you say this? Because everybody don't, just like the word friend, right? That's one of the most, you know, used words that everybody got a different meaning. And then they have different expectations. Well, when you say friend, what? How do you define friend? I need to know that. If I'm going to label you something, I need to make sure that we have the same definition. Oh, you know, because we're together. That don't make you no friend. No, because what do you think friends are? You know, you have to really have those conversations, because people don't have the same definition. So somebody might label you a friend, and you're labeling them a friend, and you got your definition, and they got yours, and then they do you dirt, and you're trying to figure it out. But they don't, they just look at a friend, somebody to have some fun with. That's it.
Right.
So there was never, they never were in a mindset to not do you dirty as your friend, because that's not the way they look at friends. You know, but there's, well, people will slap a label on it and think that everybody's defining it the same way. No, you got to really have those conversations with people. What do you mean by this? What's your definition of this? To see if you have the same mindset, because the way your mindset is, that's going to shape the reality and how you operate in this world. So you operating in one reality and I'm operating in another reality, you know, we are, you know, doing life together. Don't even know we in two different realities. Don't even know it.
Right.
So yeah, words are important, and it's important for us to gather data. Right? We got to get that knowledge and understanding. See, we can have knowledge. Oh, I know that she considers me my friend, but I need to have an understanding of what she thinks a friend is.
Mm.
And so having conversations gives us understanding, and we need to be able to have those conversations with people. What do you mean by this? But some people don't want to say that. Well, obviously, no, it's not obvious. Everybody don't look at things the same or define things the same. So that's a good podcast to have to get people to really think about what words they're using and how to define words, or what's the definition of when other people are using it or when they're using it. Because I've got revelation now with that whole energy thing. A lot of people do be talking about that energy this, energy that, energy this, vibing high, vibing low. I'm like, what do you mean by that? You know, some of that stuff, science behind it, some of that stuff is purely demonic. You know, so people got to be mindful about the what they're promoting and feeding into, because sometimes we're promoting and feeding into devil mess and don't even know it. So we have to have strong discernment and really just, you know, ask God to really give us that strong discernment, so that we're not promoting ungodly things or even ourselves getting caught up in ungodly things. So, but that's our time. We don't want to get cut off. It already gave the 90 seconds thing. So last week it cut us off when we was, as you know, when we was praying for somebody, cut us off.
Right.
But we're glad that you called in tonight.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I got to talk to you both. I love y'all so much.
We love you too.
Yes, we love you too. So yeah, we're going to go ahead and jump off before it cuts us off.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for calling in. Call back at 845, hit 1, get in the queue, hear what Randy's got to say for the message, and let him pray for you. And we love you all, and until next time, good night.
Good night.